This is Todd Wright, and this is the Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Brandon Legal Group is based in Brandon, Florida. However, they service the greater Tampa Bay area, and they are a full-service law firm. So you need not ask the question whether they can handle your case or just handle what you need in terms of legal advice or legal representation. It's easy to call for a free consult at 844-4-BLG-4ME. They are huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, and they have been with me now on podcasts for almost one entire year. Brandon Legal Group, full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. 844-4-BLG-4ME. My apologies for being a little delayed in this next installment of the Toddcast. 2019 has been all or nothing for me. I've either been doing a lot of things or nothing at all, and the nothing at all has been because of illness. It's been odd. It's starting to bother me, to be honest. My goal today was to simply be able to enunciate without inconveniencing you with too many coughs or scratches or wheezes in my voice. It's an issue with my throat and my lungs to do this podcast. Let me just move on, but that's basically why you haven't heard from me since the last one, although I do want to pick up a little bit where I left off in the previous Toddcast. And at the same time, I don't want you to think that for the better part of the 2 months, this will be the primary topic. But I spent some time on the last Toddcast talking about the first impression that the Alliance of American Football was going to get on its opening weekend, and primarily in the window it received, the only one planned, for this first season contractually on CBS network television. And that was now a couple of Saturday nights removed. CBS, as part of the deal, with most games airing on CBS Sports Network and also games airing on NFL Network, as part of the deal, CBS offered to kickstart the league by putting two games played simultaneously. Basically, you had a national game and then you had more of a regional game for the Southeast on CBS network television. Let's talk about the television rating first for those of you that didn't catch it. The television rating for the Alliance of American Football on CBS that opening Saturday night was actually higher than the television rating for an Oklahoma City Thunder game against the Houston Rockets being played over on ABC. Now, if you're looking for me to pile on the NBA, I don't. I like the NBA. I may not like it as much as its main television partner, ESPN, and how they push the NBA. But I've always liked the NBA. Some years are better than others. Some players are better than others. Some style of play is better than others, but I've gotten a lot of enjoyment in my life from watching the NBA, attending NBA games, going to NBA All-Star games, going to NBA playoff games, NBA Finals games, and I will continue to do so. However, as far as the number was concerned, it was encouraging for the AAF. It's not an implication of the NBA at all. It just showed that people were curious and they tuned in. And what the AAF and CBS did to that point worked. It got people to tune in for however long. 15 minutes, maybe even 15 minutes where people weren't sitting there and attentively watching the particular game, but it was on the television. I was one of those that tuned in that night, and what I saw was, and here's the way I put it, it was fine. Also, the league, nor CBS, embarrassed themselves. There was nothing that came out of that first night that people could really overly criticize and say, yeah, I'm done with that. Now, if they watched the game and said, well, this just wasn't exciting to me, I don't think I'll watch it again. Okay, that's your personal preference. But I'll get to my point about the AAF here in a moment, because I think there's a misconception out there for some that don't understand why the league exists and perhaps what the goal of the league actually is. So let's take it a step further. The first impression was fine. Again, I think it was more important that they didn't embarrass themselves and create a negative backlash than anything else. Now, I went down the road of the XFL a number of years ago, the first run of the XFL. And yes, the XFL is planning to return, albeit in a slightly, not slightly, but it'll still be football, but with a different approach in 2020, including a franchise in Tampa Bay. The XFL had huge numbers the first night. It wasn't able to sustain those numbers. The numbers dropped drastically from week one, week two, week three. The bottom fell out after that, and it was pretty clear even by mid-season that the league was done. The television contract was horrible for NBC, and there was no future for the league at all. Look, we're only through 2 weeks of the AAF, but again, they've done nothing to embarrass themselves. I don't know the television ratings from the second weekend, but there were no games on network TV. They were only on cable TV, on CBS SN, and on NFL Network. But again, it doesn't seem like they did anything to embarrass themselves. For those of you that watched those games and said, well, teams can't score, yeah, that's to be expected. It is. That's to be expected. There were really only three teams of the eight that scored the first week. Watching the San Diego-Atlanta game a bit over this past weekend on NFL Network, didn't see much scoring there. Unlike much of the season in the NFL where offense was clearly at an advantage over defense, when you're just putting a bunch of pieces together in a very limited amount of time, coaches that don't know players, players that don't know coaches, players not familiar with the system, players not familiar with other players, it's difficult to have really any sort of consistency. Because the offensive guys and their coaches, they just haven't been together for very long. There's not a lot of working knowledge. There's not a lot of reps there. You hear often about how the best offensive lines are the ones that have five guys that play every snap together. Well, take that to an entire unit where most of the guys have never played together. And the coaches haven't worked with many of these players either. So you get to that point where it's tough for various reasons for the offense to execute and ultimately get in the end zone and have that same advantage that seemingly the NFL had for much of the season, although we had the low-scoring Super Bowl thanks to Bill Belichick and, for what it's worth, to Wade Phillips as well. But let's get to what I think is a bit of a misconception on the AAF, just because I've heard it a couple of times. And you can't really compare the AAF to the United States Football League, which I was a huge fan of. My grandfather and I had season tickets for the Tampa Bay Bandits of the United States Football League. for each of the 3 years that the band that the USFL played, 83, 84, 85. Bandits were one of the two most successful franchises in that league. If there had been six other franchises as successful as Tampa Bay or the Denver Gold, the USFL might have continued on. But the Alliance of American Football seems to exist to try to become literally a developmental vehicle for the National Football League. It looks like it. It feels like it. And everything points to the existence of this is almost Bill Polian and his staff of many name NFL former players, former coaches, etc., to put together, to do the work, convince the NFL, and we know how stubborn Roger Goodell can be, that this is a good idea. This would be Polian talking, saying, we went out and we did most of the work for you. We set up the league. We set up the TV contracts. We set up the structure of the payments. You know, it's not like, so we've, for example, let's just take Kyler Murray, since he's one of the more talked about prospects right now for the NFL draft. The USFL would have gone after Kyler Murray, saying, well, you know, if we get him and he's one guy on one team, so if we can make Kyler Murray say our Steve Young, remember the 40-year, $41 million contract, and this was 1984 for Steve Young, then it's good for our league. We can show the NFL we mean business. Just listen to anyone working with the Alliance of American Football, and they're not saying anything bad about the NFL. They're trying to help players and maybe also create an environment for coaches to have another opportunity to work in the NFL again. And for every time that they do that, they feel successful and open up a spot for someone else to potentially work their way back to the NFL as well. That's, to me, what the Alliance of American Football is about. So if you watch it and say, well, this isn't the same. Look, you know, the guys are still playing football. Most of the rules are the same, although there's no kicking of extra points, and their transparency on replay is excellent, although, as my good friend Joey DePompo, a golf instructor, pointed out, the replay official on a game over the weekend being shown on television was wearing a Callaway jacket, which is not exactly a brand of the AAF. It is a golf manufacturer brand. Still, there are obviously some things that the Alliance is doing that the NFL will pay attention to. But more than anything else, don't view this as their incentive to rival the NFL, steal players. You can hear it in the way the coaches talk, the way the Hines Wards talk, Bill Polian. Christian Hackenberg is a good example, and I watched him a little bit the other night in the Memphis game against, I believe it was Arizona. Pardon me, I'm going to cough once. And the idea is Hackenberg is viewed as a lost cause in the NFL. If the Alliance of American Football can actually get him reps, find out what he's not doing right, teach him how to do it, get him another opportunity in an NFL camp, it feels it did a good thing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So again, if you've watched any of these first eight Alliance games and say, well, yeah, Todd, I agree, they haven't embarrassed themselves, but I don't find it exciting. Okay. When you go to a minor league baseball game, do you find it exciting? When you go to a D-League NBA game, do you find it exciting? I mean, in an excitement that compares to events that make headlines and draw big ratings? The answer is no. I'm not saying it's not intended to be exciting, but that's not the point. The point of the league is to, and you can kind of see it a little bit, the players are all in this together. They may be on different teams, but they're all there for the same reasons. They're being paid very modestly to play football again, but also to try to get another chance. So the fact that they're all in it together actually, to me, creates an environment that is very healthy for the league overall. Sure, when you have offense lining up against defense, it's not like the defense is saying, well, you know, if the offense is successful here, I understand why. No, they're still playing a game, but everybody's in this for the same reasons. And there's a sort of a different culture out there. It's only through 2 weeks of regular season play. And for some of you, I would understand if you don't watch anymore. Just don't make the mistake of thinking that this exists for ulterior motives that existed with the United States Football League as one primary example, or comparing it to the XFL going back now nearly 20 years. Also, I think there is I don't want to call it a time-sensitive nature, but Bill Polian wants to get the NFL not only to sign off on what he did, he wants to get them basically to invest in it or buy it. Because the NFL clearly wasn't going to do this on their own. Maybe they just felt it wasn't worth it. And a Bill Polian said, I disagree, and I'll show you why. So Bill Polian, a Hall of Famer, goes out and he sets this up. It's almost like he set up a small business. Instead of getting the big business to do something he thinks is worthwhile, he breaks off on his own. He sets it up himself. The whole time, not trying to take away business from the big company, but showing this will help you. And then once they're convinced of it, they buy it. Or they buy a portion of it. They invest in it. Maybe they don't want to own it outright, but they can put some funding in it. And if Bill Polian gets that, the XFL is done. Because the XFL is supposed to start play in a year in different markets. They've already named one big name head coach for the market in Dallas that will play at the what will then be the old Texas Rangers ballpark. It's going to be reconfigured for concerts and for football. At least that's the plan right now. In naming Bob Stoops. Polian doesn't want to compete for players against the XFL. Right now, he's not competing for anyone. So if he can convince the NFL that what he's doing works, have the NFL invest in him, whether it is a small amount or buy it outright, then the XFL is done. Because even if the XFL then plays, it will be viewed as a more inferior product to the Alliance, which will be viewed as the NFL's developmental league. So that's just what I wanted to make the subject of this podcast. And again, it won't be a regular thing talking about the Alliance here, but I just wanted maybe those of you who didn't tune in, or those of you who only tuned in for a couple of minutes that didn't notice some of the things I did, to understand what's going on here. Because there is minor league baseball, and there is D-League NBA. There is the Web.com Tour, a developmental league for the PGA Tour. And the NFL basically has big-time college football. And perhaps they've always thought that's enough. Well, I think we all agree there aren't enough quarterbacks to go around. Maybe there aren't enough good head coaches to go around. Maybe there just aren't enough good ideas out there. And having a developmental league for players and coaches, granted, many of these coaches are recycled, but not all. Guys getting opportunity to coach, call plays, be position coaches. A guy that I went to college with, Lamar Thomas, who has done some coaching in college football, but is working with Dennis Erickson with the Salt Lake franchise, getting that opportunity. It creates the likelihood that you're going to have more talent at various positions, whether they are players or coaches, and you have a way to experiment with improving replay, improving the television production of a football game, other things like how the game is officiated, other rules, etc., that would be considered too drastic if they just suddenly dropped into the NFL's lap. Remember, going back to the USFL, the USFL had the coach's challenge flag to go to replay that was adopted by the National Football League. So that's where this is headed, and that's really one of the few areas I would compare the Alliance to the XFL. Because clearly the USFL was trying to do business on its own. And for those of you that blame the now 45th president saying he ruined the USFL, it started well before him. He wasn't the guy who went after Steve Young. He wasn't the guy who signed Jim Kelly, not initially. Kelly played with the Houston Gamblers first. Then the Gamblers went out of business, and he ended up with the Generals. Did he end up with the Generals, or that was Sipe, then Flutie? I forget if Kelly ended up there, but Kelly I know was with the Houston Gamblers. I'm staring right at, I have a Houston Gamblers mini helmet with Jim Kelly's autograph on it that I got from a number of years ago. So it wasn't just the owner of the New Jersey Generals who did the things to go after the NFL. There were others in that league that wanted to act independently of the NFL and try to successfully run their own product and not necessarily be a feeder for the NFL, as the Alliance wants to be a complementary league and a developmental league for the NFL. Thanks for bearing with me in my illness and my rambling. Again, the Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Brandon Legal Group exists in Brandon, Florida, but you do not need to have your legal issue originate in Brandon, Florida. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, and they are a full-service law firm, so you need not ask the question, well, I have this particular legal need, or would they handle this particular case? Full service law firm. I know this isn't an impulse buy, and they know that too. They just want you to know they're there when you need a free consult and you have a legal issue. 844-4BLG-4ME. They service the greater Tampa area. 844-4BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group. All right, that's about as much talking as I've done in 8 days. I've enjoyed doing the Toddcast for you. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it, and I'll try to crank out another one here in a few days or so.